Blog Talk Radio.
Own the Vision Radio. Exposing you to the people, places, and organizations that will help you own your vision of success. Coming to you live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Feeding your mind so we can feed the change that we want to be. And now your host, Jason Warner.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, good people? It's actually Wednesday. I know we usually come on Tuesday nights, but life happened, so we had to switch it up for this week. We're happy to have you. It's Wednesday, March 22nd. We're usually, like I said, a Tuesday night show, but we can do things because we own the channel. We own our vision. We own the channel. But we're excited. We're excited about the week. We're excited about the weeks to come. We're excited about this show. Why what we don't know about business and money is killing us. That's an amazing topic because I love business. I love the thought and the thought process around business. And we're going to have a dynamic professional on with us that's done a little bit of everything, and just excited to walk into this journey so we can own our vision of success, learn a little bit more about money and a little bit more about business so that we can literally own our vision of success. Just a few housekeeping items. If you're listening online and you want to get into the dialogue and ask questions, you can dial area code 646-787-1768. That's 646-787-1768. And press the number 1 if you have a question that lets me know that you have a question and you're not just listening in, but just feel free to listen in. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Miss Anita Maxwell. She's a native of Dallas, Texas. She studied at New Mexico State University, where she had a full basketball scholarship, went on to the WNBA, played in Europe. After that, ended up in the business arena in sales, marketing, nonprofit management, community relations. Now she's a business owner. She's a financial coach. She helps people like you and me become successful in business, in life, by looking at finance. Without further ado, please help us welcome Miss Anita Maxwell. Anita, thank you so much for being on with us. How are you today, ma'am?
Hi, Jason. I am wonderful. It is a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about this show.
You know, I'm excited because life comes around, you know, full circle. A few months back, I was on your show. We're talking about things going on, and I remember you said, "Don't forget about me." I was like, "How could I ever forget?" And now you're here. So, you know, the lady of the hour, the superstar, from the WNBA to corporate America, just taking the world by storm. So that part I applaud you for. That's amazing. You know, everyone has the dreams of doing different things. You've walked in those arenas that many of us dream about. One day I thought I was going to play against Michael Jordan, but that didn't happen.
I think we all had that dream.
Right. So, you know, I'll live vicariously through you.
From when you were on the show, I have not stopped talking about all of the wonderful things you are doing and the things you're spearheading at On the Vision. So it was a pleasure to be here. I have used many of those talking points that you shared in our interview with my clients, as well as just other interviews that I've done. So you've already made an impact on my life, and I'm glad to connect with you and return the favor today.
Awesome, awesome. You know, it's about exposing people to the people, the organization, the places that we're not exposed to, so we can own our vision of success. If you're not exposed to, how do you get to? Exposure is key. Like my good friend Jay Bailey says, he changed his mission statement to his nonprofit organization, one of the organizations that we're seeding in the Atlanta Give 12 project. His mission statement is simple: exposure. They had this nice multi-line sentence of a mission statement, and he was like, no, it's about exposure. If you want to achieve more, you have to be exposed to it. If no one ever said that, you know, it's possible for a woman to play basketball and you never seen it in your life, you may not have thought, hey, it's an opportunity for me. Or to transition from professional sports to a career in business. You know, at one time in my life, I managed a number of professional athletes from a nonprofit standpoint. And my focus was to make sure that they build a brand on the field or the court that will sustain them off the field or the court. And especially for the NFL guys, I would tell them the NFL doesn't stand for the National Football League. It stands for not for long.
Not for long,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, being able to transition. And, you know, I just, like I said, that goes into our first question. You know, what was your transition like from professional sports? You know, that the quote-unquote celebrity lifestyle, that's like, man, I'm in a different world now.
Well, I will tell you, it's nothing like the men's, at least for most of the women playing professional sports. It's not. But I was a different kind of athlete. I remember when I realized that I could go to college and have college paid for. I mean, that was a huge weight off my parents. And like you mentioned earlier, that exposure, I had some people expose me to the opportunity to play after college. And I'm grateful to God that I had the ability to transition to do that. But I was never the kid who was always the gym rat. And I always talk to students about that because you have some people that eat, sleep, and drink sports. And I am a sports fanatic. I mean, I get it. Not the kind of fanatic of I'm outside with no shirt on in 0 degree temperatures. But I can watch and cheer for pretty much any sport, and I love participating. But there was a big part of me.
I'm going to pause you real quick. We're getting a lot of echo. Just got a note that we're giving off some echo. I don't know if we can change how you're speaking. If we can switch it a little bit.
Okay, hopefully that's better.
That sounds better on my end. Hopefully we get some a note to say they can hear it differently. But let me let you continue that transition. You know, a super lover of sports. Not that person that's going to be out in 0 degrees with no shirt on, but.
Absolutely. So even when I went into playing sports and I decided to go overseas first, this was before there was a WNBA, I always had in my mind, what else can I do besides play sports? I had done it since I was a child, and I had never done anything else. When you're a student athlete, your path is not like the traditional student where you have the opportunity to do internships and externships and in many cases have jobs so that you can get some business experience or at least an idea of what you may be good at or interested in. So when sports demands all of your time, you're still figuring it out. And I was a pretty cerebral kid, and I was always wondering, if I go play sports, that's going to put me even further behind my peers when I'm done playing sports, and they will be my boss, and I still won't have any experience. So I struggled with that as I was trying to decide whether I would even go play. But I had an instructor who talked to me in college and just really brought it home for me and talked to me about how small that window is when you have the opportunity to play sports. He was saying your mind may be willing forever, but at some point your body is going to say it's time.
I can tell you about that body saying it's time. You know, it's when you try to play in these grown man leagues, going out to the basketball leagues, the football leagues, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't do this like I did before. So, you know, it's definitely a situation where we have to listen to that body. And I think that instructor gave you some amazing advice. I look at my son, and I think people talk about my son and my daughter, and I've had the question asked, would you let them go pro early? I was like, why not? Learning is lifelong. You never have that opportunity to chase that dream. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? We have folks going back to school at 30, 40, 50 years old. I remember at one graduation from Florida A&M, Bill Cosby's brother, he graduated at 60. So, and that's with his undergraduate degree. So it's always an opportunity to learn. And sometimes it's, you only get that one shot to chase that dream, especially in professional sports.
That's true, and that's exactly what he told me.
I think most of the people, though, they it's all about the money. People want to kind of understand about that money and transitioning to becoming a business owner. Like, what did that look like after sports? And I know you said that you always had the mind for something different, and you wanted to look at life after sports. But what did that look like for you?
It was tough because you went from playing all the time, controlling your schedule, working 8-9 months a year. But then when the WNBA came along, it was working 11 months a year and pretty much transitioning back overseas. So to go from that to now having someone say you're a 9-to-5 person, you have to be here, you have to request time off, here's what we're going to pay you to have a salary, it was a different place for me. And I'm sure a lot of the people can attest to that because statistics show that many of us do not transition well.
Right.
After that being everything you've done your whole life to now being put on a schedule or to now sitting at a desk, that's different. But thankfully, I had some mentors, one mentor in particular, Joy Wallace, who knew me in high school, who told me, when you're done playing, give me a call. And she knew that I had majored in international business, and she had started her own company, and she allowed me to come in and become a generalist at a lot of things. And that was such a blessing for me because I didn't have to be good or the best like I had been my whole life on the court. It was about coming in and being humble enough to realize that I didn't know things and to be a student of business. And that was just a great launching pad for my career.
You know, and I think that really goes back to exposure. Because you had someone to allow you to be exposed to not only, you know, the professional sports, but they watched you. They were exposed to you seeing you do great things. But you were also exposed to them to be able to see what goes on in that professional arena. And that's, I think the biggest piece that we have to understand is those relationships that connect us to. You know, even when you look at sports, there's so many people that are great athletes that never make it because they never were connected to with the relationships, their exposure to the scouts and different things like that. And even when you transition, to be exposed to people that can help you transition. So what after you transition to from, you know, a professional athlete to the business arena, international business, sales, marketing, what have you, you know, what made you say, I want to get into the entrepreneur realm?
I think I bumped my head one day. No, seriously, I actually was a person, I never thought about owning my own business. To me, that seemed like such a lofty goal. I felt like I was still figuring out my life. Like my career had been kind of a hodgepodge. When I looked at other people who seemed to know exactly what they wanted to do, starting in high school, I want to be a doctor, I'm going to medical school, that's what I'm going to do. And I saw so many different things that I felt like I either was good at or capable of doing. And so I felt like I had no particular path. But owning a business and seeing
We're getting some real bad feedback right now. I don't know what if you moved if it.
I'm not sure. I'm on the line. I'm not on the line. I'm not.
I haven't moved.
It's coming back. You're back. You're back. It's like you almost went into a tunnel for a second, but.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's go.
I never had the thought of being a business owner. I was. It just seemed too big and so much responsibility. But after years of being in my profession and doing well, I was actually exposed to going into business just in this new world of business. I mean, things have changed. There's so many opportunities out there now for people to own their own businesses without all the brick and mortar and the high startup costs and all of that. So I tell people that's how I was introduced to doing business in a different way, and it really has changed how people do business in the country by having those opportunities. So that's how I transitioned into it, just because it made sense. It wasn't because I was looking for it. Because I asked myself the question one day, Anita, you're working 80-hour weeks for somebody else. Shame on you if you wouldn't be willing to put in half that time to do something that you enjoy doing and that you would be proud of.
You know, and that's I was speaking at a luncheon on Monday, and we talked about it. But we launched the Give 12 project here in Atlanta. We're going to multiple cities throughout where we're seeding 12 entrepreneurs in each city, $25,000. And 9 nonprofit organizations, $100,000 each. And a lady asked, can I apply in both the idea phase and the startup phase to be seeded? I said, yes, you can, but I wouldn't advise to do that. As an entrepreneur, and you know, it's a full-time plus job. And you have to place all your effort in it. I think we were talking offline about your show and picking it back up. It's those distractions that take you away. So yes, I think, you know, for you, when you said you bumped your head and I laughed, it's that part of business. I think a lot of people don't think about, and jumping into owning a business is not for the faint of heart. But, you know, kind of talk about what you do in your business as it pertains to money and business.
I'm sorry, you went in and out a little bit. What was the last question?
I said, talk about what you do in your business as it pertains to money and business.
Okay. Well, To put it simply, I help people understand money, how to make it work for them. I think we've all bought into this narrative over time that only certain people have access to wealth. And what I've learned in my experience through my career as a whole is that there are certain principles that are practiced. And success doesn't necessarily have an entitlement attached to it. Okay, you're black, you're white, you're male, you're female. There are certain set of principles that if I put them into play, then I have just as much of an opportunity to be successful. So I transitioned into the financial arena, oddly enough, not doing something different, still employing the same skills and talents that I have, the same purpose and passion for helping people get and understand things that are often pretty complicated or they often pay off. When I started to do some exploring about what was my gift, what was my gift,
what I do well,
it was that no matter what my job title was, I was always going out of my way to break things down to the lowest common denominator so people would understand it. and make it work for them. So I was moved into financial services by experience. I actually had a family member who was a client, and I started working with the person just to help her understand it. And I started to realize that, I'm the person that my friends and family call when they need information. I didn't even know a lot of this stuff. And I thought it was rather simple, but I had never been, exposed to it. And when I realized, okay, if I don't know this, then most of the people I know don't know this. And so there again was the opportunity to find something that was the most lucrative industry in the world and the most underexposed industry and concept in the world that really impacts us as a people for not understanding how money works and how this whole financial piece impacts our life. If you change somebody's money, you change their life because you change their options. So there are a lot of things I could be doing. I could be selling you burgers. I could be selling you a whole bunch of things. I could be talking to you about a lot of things. But they may make me feel good for the moment, but they don't necessarily change my life and my legacy. And finances does that.
Absolutely. So hold that. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to, talk, let folks hear from Our Lady of the Law real quick, and then we're going to listen to, because every show I put on Amari the Great, Pledge Allegiance to My People, this young man just turned 18. I think he's a hip-hop superstar, so I like to play him. And I sent you a link. I sent you a link, and hopefully we can clear up some of the feedback. So check in your email, maybe in your like your spam or your promotions. It should be a link from the show, and see if we can connect from there. Don't hang up, but see if you can connect that way as well. It'll be online, and maybe we can get some of the feedback back because there's still a little echo going on. So when we come back from the break, we'll ask a few more questions and get into it. You're listening live to Own the Vision Radio with Anita Maxwell. We're talking about why what we don't know about business and money is killing us. We'll be right back.
I'm Charlene Pinkney.
And I'm Laverne Pinkney of the Pinkney Law Firm.
We're a local, family-owned, full-service law firm owned and operated by mother and daughter.
We have more than 38 years of combined legal experience.
Our firm handles many cases including divorce, child support, dependency, school discipline, and special education, serving Dade and Broward County.
We are known for our family-friendly service. Call us now at 954-362-5409. That's 954-362-5409. Or go to PinkneyLawFirm.com.
One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation. This is our song cry for my melanated people. Put your hands in the sky. You're blacker, the very sweetest, the truth. What a concoction of greatness was graded out of this soup. Created doctrines of hatred and still we fight to break loose. Physically anger, now our mentality is inside a noose. Black history books I read, intrigued as I'm turning chapters. A QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Rap for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ACL protesting, those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly you feel this smile on my face. I'm just the only one for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Thoughts of freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my Black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. messed up, says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation, pledge allegiance. Sometimes I feel like MLK in this society's bias. I'm not okay with this, we're patient, yeah. Hard to stand by us, they chillin', breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garveys. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Davey, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now, showing that greatness black and proud. The chains are saying it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carver and his peanuts to CJ Walker's cosmetics. Remember movements like the SCLC, even the Freedom Riders. Now I'm on Phyllis Wheatley with it, cause I'm a Freedom Rider. So bad to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His riches mind, though they try, there's no use neglecting it. But thought I was the king, there's no need for me to be selling it. Who would've thought the power I possessed was in this melanin? God. One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Since you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Since you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Lift up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month because it doesn't need titles. Don't need a month to acknowledge William Du Bois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream and Huey had to pump cop, when Malcolm was in that window that turned a lit blood drop, when Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered, St. Mills in that rec center hunted down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember this power in black. Yeah. One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah. Indefinitely empowered, temporarily exiled, were my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless, they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but were whipped for barking. Finally, we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a bite. Symbolized a spark, but no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the most high. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah.
We're back. We're back with On the Vision Radio. We have Anita Maxwell, former professional athlete turned business superstar, exposing people to how making money works for us and stop killing us. You know, before the break, we were talking about exposure, understanding finance. The catalyst around the On the Vision Foundation was to help us understand how money works for our community. We talk so much about the spending power that we have in Black America, nearly $1.3 trillion. But that means nothing if we don't own and control. And I think, Anita, you were talking about how leverage the money that we get to make ourselves successful and build legacies for ourselves and for our community. So, Anita, talk to us a little more about that.
Well, Jason, you're right. One of the things that was big for me from our last conversation was about how we do that. And I tell you, I hear a lot of people say all the time, I don't make enough money. And that's true. I mean,
true.
I don't think a job can ever pay us what we're truly worth. I mean, it's
worth.
Truly about
right.
trading
about
time for dollars.
And
it tends to not be so much about how good you are, how good of a person you are. It's about a position and what they want
and what the reward is
for that position. So I always challenge people to think
about
it
this
way. Regardless of how much more you'd like to, think about the time you started working to now
and how much money
truly
has
come through your hands. It's a lot of money.
Most definitely.
Especially when we start to compare how much of that we manage to keep. So many of us are working
to just pay bills,
and so we're suffocating
trying to figure out
things because there's nothing left. And so one of the first conversations
I have with
people
is,
think about what your vehicle
is.
I have no knock against having a job. There's a purpose for that.
We
all have responsibilities. We have to do what we have to do.
They are not
necessarily
put in place
for you to get wealthy. They are for the person
who
hired you,
the owner,
to get wealthy. And so that's a paradigm shift for us because
we've always been
told, go to school, get a good education, get a good job. Well, we all are witnessing.
People with
law degrees working at Starbucks, and
unemployed
people
with
masters and PhDs. So that is
not
a guarantee for success just because you go.
So that model
isn't necessarily working well for us,
but
we're still stuck in it and not willing to step out of the box.
And
time, technology, this digital space is passing us by. Because we're still looking for someone to hire us.
So how do you and clearly we at the foundation have a idea to shift that. But how can that everyday person that's working that 9 to 5, barely making ends meet, maybe was making good money, the economy fell, they're trying to transition, they got downsized, so they have more house than they have money now. But they were able to maintain. What kind of things does that regular person that says, you know what, my fun is being able to treat myself to Starbucks every Friday. That's my little over splurge. What type of things should they think about when you're talking about financing and making that paradigm shift to creating a legacy?
Okay, so sometimes it really is a matter of if we know we're in a space where we're not making a lot of money, we may need to just look at, okay, some opportunities for you to make money. Can you be doing something else to supplement what you currently have? So that's a real conversation. There are some people who don't make a lot of money for the life they've built. But conversely, there are a lot of people who built money, built lives far above their means. Where we don't want to get real about it, because that's the heart of the conversation. If we think about how
one more
we live
time.
In this country,
we
live
I'm pause you
in
one more time.
Country of
Anita?
Yes.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of, I don't know if you can go to speakerphone, but we're getting a lot of feedback.
That was me on speaker. I've switched it up so many different times.
Let's try to go to regular phone by your ear and see what that works.
I'm on regular phone now. Is there an echo? It's an echo
no matter what.
So. Cool.
Yeah, I'm getting less feedback, though.
Okay, so I've been on, I was on regular phone the whole time before now.
Wow.
I'm not sure what's happening. I turned off the Wi-Fi. I have no Bluetooth, nothing on.
It's technology, you know. We try to do things, you know. I think when we life was a little simpler when we had to dial the wired rotary phones. Things didn't hiccup as much. So, you know, it's technology, but we will get through it because it's some amazing information. And you talked about that ugly conversation that we don't have. It's about living above. And I think, you know, especially you coming from a professional sports life, I'm pretty sure you've seen it. Maybe not more on the women's side, but your Hoop brothers and your brothers in other professional sports that live way beyond their means, because I work with some professional athletes that were making $8 to $10 million a year, and come April, May, they're looking for a loan to make it to training camp.
Yeah, that's the sad part about the sports, because we forget that there's a shelf life for sports. So depending on your sport, you're a good few years in, and it's time to do something different. And to see people say, okay, I'm still only 28 or 25, and if my life expectancy is 85, not only I better have money, but I better have some skills. That's a long time to live to make whatever money stretch, especially if you're burning through it.
You know, you talked about, you talked about, you know, looking at other things, and I think that's part of the tough conversation that we don't have, is making the sacrifice. You know, we talked about technology. There's things like Uber. There's a part-time job. You can, you know, Airbnb a room. You can do all these different things to bring in different streams of income when you're not making what you need to make at the time. And there's some sacrifices that you can make to get there. I think a lot of us, we, as they say, put on for the city and try to live this life that we really can't afford and are not willing to make the sacrifices to be successful and to get out of that rut, you know. And I'm sure when you talk to many people about financial success and being that success, the financial coach for them, you know, you run into so many people that are not willing to make the sacrifice or have that difficult conversation. Hey, you know what? I don't need all the premium channels. I may not need TV right now.
Right.
You know, what do you say to those folks?
Well, you know, that is just the pain point right there that you just pointed out. Because I have a lot of people, not only am I a financial coach, but I also am a person that helps people start their own business. And I will have a lot of people say to me, I don't make enough money. I hate what I do. The whole list of people will be frustrated. And then I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do this. We want it, but we don't want to do anything to do it. Forget it. And so I always hope success has a price, and where we are is right at the point where we decided that price is all we were willing to pay.
Anita, let's try this. Let's try this real quick. Let's have you call us back in. I'll talk a little bit about the Give 12 project while you're hanging up, calling back in. I don't know if it's just a connection or what have you, but it's I can barely hear you, so I'm guessing most of the listeners can barely hear you right now. So we're going to have you call right back in. I'll talk about the Give 12 project because that's something I love, and it kind of segues into what you're talking about and feeding that opportunity for that little push. So hang up, call us back in. We'll have you pull you right back in, and I'll talk about the Give 12 project while you're gone. All right. So, folks, what we're doing in 12 cities around the country with the Own the Vision Foundation is the Give 12 project. And what the Give 12 project, a seeding campaign where 12,000 people in a city give $12 a month for the next 12 months. With that money, we seed 9 nonprofits, $100,000 each. Those nonprofits are pre-selected, so you get to see what they're going to do with the money that you seed. You know exactly where your money's going. It's spreading across all types of entities. It could be a nonprofit that's impacting young people in our community. It could be a nonprofit that's impacting finance in our community. It could be a nonprofit that's impacting so many different things in our community. And we're seeding them $100,000 each. we're also going to see 12 entrepreneurs, $25,000 each. You know, Anita was just talking about the finance and building a legacy. Well, in this country, it was built off of stolen land and free labor. We can't go back in time and benefit off of that. But what we can do is seed the change in our community. So we're going to seed 12 entrepreneurs, $25,000 in your city, and it from three different categories. Four people in the idea phase. They don't have to have an LLC, an S-Corp, a partnership. All they have to have is an idea and can be able to clearly articulate the idea to a group of judges. Four people in that category will receive $25,000. The startup phase. Four people in the startup phase, 0 to 5 years, so you're just getting started. And you put that blood, sweat, and tears, but you need a little jolt to get over that hump. Four people in that phase. And four people in the existing and established business phase, 5 years or more, that have been doing great things. That $25,000 can help them get that software that they can now automate a process and hire a new person, what have you. But we're seeding change in our communities, and we're not waiting on the powers that be to fix our community. We're doing it right for ourselves. So for more information, you can visit www.give12today.com. Check out the cities. We're live right now in Atlanta. We'll be going to 11 other cities across the country this year. We're excited. Hey, who knows? We may come to 13, 14, or 15 cities. We just want to see change. And it doesn't have to be everyone. 12,000 people in that city to donate $12 a month to seed the change. We can change lives, change our community in less than a year's time. I think we have Anita back. You back, Anita? Hello?
I'm here. Is that better?
Yeah, we're clear. Don't know what's going on. You know, the powers that be didn't want us to talk about money and talk about business because it is killing us. They want us to be killed. They want us to be dead. But we're going to stop it because we're going to own our vision of success and expose you to what you need to know about money and business. So you were talking about those harsh realities and having those difficult conversations of sacrificing, doing something that you may not want to do, not watching TV, not going to the movies, not partying. You know, the average American spends $15 a day eating out. That may be going to the snack machine, grabbing a quick chicken biscuit in the morning, picking up some chips later on, a sandwich before you go home. $15 a day, that's $450 a month on average. Now, you can cut that in half if you cook every day.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
These are some of the things that we're talking about to make change. And, you know, I use that example because $15 a day, just $12 a month can see change in your community. So, you know, talk about some of the things that the opportunities that, you know, people have when they shift their financial habits, because they are habits that have been, you know, a lot of us have been poor habits that we've been just practicing for a very long time.
Well, I always tell people, when you change your habits, I'm not a person that believes in deprivation. I don't take that into my business either. But like you mentioned, just changing something, just doing half of it or a quarter of it, and it's for a time. If you do it now, you don't end up having to make the adjustment later when it can cost you even more. So we see that show up in so many different ways. But when you talk about the opportunities, how about just giving ourselves more options? We see we have loved ones, and we see all over our community. One of the things I remember you said on my show was until we do better with money, we can't expect to eat at the social justice table because we are not empowered. We don't have any money, nothing to leverage. And so
leverage means everything.
It's nothing else. Money gives you options. So where it's not about what someone wants to give you, but it's what you decide you want to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's part of this, and you said that you help businesses grow from a financial coach and then from a strategy for a business. What would you tell a business owner or potential entrepreneur that wants to get in that? And I hear so many people say, well, just jump out on faith, quit your job, and then start this business. I tell people that's foolish because you need some type of finance to run your life while you're growing this business. But what are some tips that you give folks that are thinking about even starting a business, or they may be in and they need to grow their business? Not giving all your trade secrets away, but, you know, give them a little taste.
No problem. The first time, you said this earlier, it's not for the faint at heart. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. But it's also worth it. And your success, all of your goals, everything you want to accomplish is right on the other side of your comfort zone. So you know you're kind of dabbling in the when it's something you feel like you don't want to do or hard for, and a greater version of yourself is going to be. So that's the first thing I tell somebody. Being a business owner, doing anything as it relates to being, is from the neck up. It's all about your mind and what you're willing to believe and tell yourself. Because we've all been coaching, rehearsing narratives for years. That's not me. I can't do that. That's not my thing. And of course, your subconscious believes what you tell it. So we've been saying this for years and years. So one of the things I say to people is, open your mind to the opportunity. There are so many more ways out there to impact the world. And I can tell you, Jason, this is something that really helped me when I was saying that I didn't really have a desire to be a business owner. It's because I was thinking it had to be in a particular field. And I learned something that really freed me. I used to always say I couldn't do anything I wasn't passionate about. And I remember hearing a quote from Mark Cuban once, and it made so much sense to me, and it freed me from saying that. And one of the things he talked about was people wait for passion before they start to do something. And passion doesn't always have to be there in the beginning. If you do something long enough and you become convinced and convicted about it, passion grows. But we are all waiting for this warm and fuzzy feeling to come up before we take on anything, instead of trying to figure out, business is about what value can I bring to the marketplace? Where is there a need? And how can I fill it? And it's not always about me feeling good and warm and fuzzy. It's about supply and demand. And using that business to be successful in it, if you help other people figure out and reach the goals they have, you'll reach yours by default. And then that gives you a launching pad to live the kind of life, the extracurricular activities and all of that, that comes from you fulfilling the need for somebody else.
Most definitely. You know, the thing that I talk about a lot is when you're looking in the business, and you said that you didn't want to just sell anything, you have to understand your purpose. I tell people all the time, chase purpose, not paper. If whatever business that you're looking at aligns with your purpose, you will be super, super successful in it. And it goes to what you just said. Being, you know, one, passionate about it, but it won't feel like a job. Because I was having a conversation with someone today. They were like, Jason, when do you sleep? I was like, I don't, but I'm passionate about this. When I was speaking on Monday and a lady asked me, do you get nervous before you speak? I said, no, because I'm passionate about it. If I wasn't passionate about it, I probably would be a little nervous because it's not coming from a place of purpose, and it's not coming from my heart. It's spitting out some written script that someone gave me. But when you're passionate and purposeful about this, we can be successful in whatever venture that we are walking in. You know, if my purpose is not to be an artist, I can try, take all the classes, paint, tell people, some person say, oh, that's a great piece of art, but I'll never be successful because that's not in my purpose path. So I think many of us need to look at that. What types of things from a financial standpoint do you tell potential business owners, that person that's trying to shift from their 9-to-5? You know, what type of financial advice do you give to folks like that?
First, I tell them just what you said. Because the economy has changed, how we do business has changed, there are so many opportunities for you to experience what you're interested in without selling out everything. Now let me preface that by saying you have some people who subscribe to the theory that if I'm in, I'm all in, let's burn the boat. And I'm fine with that. But when you have a spouse at home, children, a mortgage, responsibility, and no resources, we have to be wise. We've got to use wisdom with that. So there are ways to learn industries, especially living in this new economy. And if you all aren't familiar with that, it was a Success Magazine article about how doing business has changed. And there are so many opportunities, be it network marketing, people tapping into their creativity, offering things online, services that people don't have, or skills that they don't have that they are now freelancers. There's so many different ways out there for you to do things and generate revenue and still function in things you love to do and your skills without selling everything and going all in and leaving your full-time job. So you really can almost try before you fully get in. And then I tell someone, once you realize that your full-time job is getting in the way of your part-time job, that's when you know that it's okay to go forward. And when you replace that income, if you find a part-time opportunity or something that you do on the side that allows you to replace your income, then use wisdom and transition, but you have to jump all in because you still have obligations. So that's one thing. Go ahead.
I just thank you for saying that. I thank you. And I knew you would say it. That's why I kind of pushed to that question. You know, a lot of times, and I think I talked about this on your show, we make decisions out of emotion. And if you go all in and you're running out of money, you may try to take a contract or do something that's underhanded to try to meet your basic needs. You know, was it Pavlov's hierarchy of needs? If you don't have those needs met, you're going to do what you have to do to get there.
Yeah.
So, from a business standpoint, if you're all in and it doesn't work in the first 6 months and you're out of that all in money, you're trying to figure out and you make emotional bad business decisions. So, thank you. Wisdom is what we all need when we're making these transitions and building our businesses.
Yes, and I can tell you, when I am working with someone who is looking and I'm helping them start their own business, one of the first things I look for is a person who is who doesn't have to rely on the paycheck right away. Because that person will probably be more patient, more open to learning and not trying to sidestep the process of being an entrepreneur. There's a process. You cannot circumvent the challenges that come with that, meaning you are excited about it, but the people excited to you may not be. They may not come on board to support you. Hey, those people you thought would be there for you anytime you need me, just call me. Where are they when you need them? It's the increasing of skills and learning something new is a totally different career path for you. Those things will require some time and focus, and the person who has to have a paycheck tomorrow will not stay long enough to stay long enough.
That's so true. That is so true. You know, one other thing I'll probably add to that is understanding the business of your business. You know, everyone, you know, you may be great at baking cakes, but if you don't know the business of cake baking, how to get your eggs at wholesale and your milk and your butter and your whatever that you need, your flour, you may be the creative person to make T-shirts. I'm not paying $75 for your T-shirt that I saw the same type of design or a similar type of design at Walmart for $9.99. Like, I appreciate your art and creativity, but the market does not demand a $75 T-shirt. I'm sorry. So if you don't know the business of your business, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I think a lot of us get into that, going back to that emotional space, oh, this is my baby, and my baby should cost this, and, well, I need to make the profit so I can pay my mortgage. And if I sell five at $500, I can make my mortgage and my bills and my this, so I need to do that. Well, if you understand economy of scale and that what your the market demands for your product or service, then you'll understand the business of the business that you're in. So I think that is another important, and it goes to that wisdom and, like you said, getting the knowledge about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and Jason, I can tell you, I'll have that person, and we have a lot of small businesses. I mean, that's the majority of the market, small businesses. But here was another narrative that I always thought was okay and acceptable for everyone. The person who starts their business and they eat, sleep, and drink it and have no life, and that is somehow a badge of honor to do that. And once I started being around mentors who were millionaires and seeing how very little they do work after building their business, I'm thinking, I'm signing up for that deal. Because we all seem to think we have to be the cook, the bottle washer, the this, the that, because we go into business that only we can do. And we have not figured out that the way to building true wealth and having freedom is duplicating yourself and not having to have your hands on the business. But if we're so focused on I'm the only one that can do it and I'm great at it and I haven't built it and I have them. But instead, it is all about me and my efforts. We will still, all we did was trade that for a job. And we're still going to work ourselves to death or go out of business because we burn out. And so I always tell people, what is it that you can do that allows you to not have to be the only person who does it? Because there's a big difference in being self-employed and being a business owner.
Say it again, please. Say it again one more time for us.
There is a huge difference in being self-employed and being the business owner. And I always ask someone, if you think that you are a business owner, do the litmus test. If you don't show up at work, is money still made? Is a product or service still sold? If you get sick, what happens? Does anyone else know what you're doing? So we have to learn how, and I really think a lot of us have never been exposed to that. But think about the jobs we work in, whatever your field is. The person who started that company is not there with you side by side working in the business. The reality is you probably never see them because they have people running their business. And therefore they have freedom and they are the wealthiest.
I like
and
to call
we
that
hold on to it.
I like to call that the difference between creating yourself a job because you are fed up with corporate America, fed up because you didn't fit that corporate culture or what have you, versus creating a business. That's exactly what you're talking about. There's a huge difference between creating a job and starting a business. And that's why it's so important to understand the business of that business. You know, we're getting into the hour. So give me one to two things that you want everyone to know. What would that be? It could be on life sports, business, finance. What do you want to leave people knowing?
One, the success that we all long for and think about is going to require a different version of ourselves. So ask yourself if you are willing to let go of a lot of the ideas either from your past or listening to your uncle Nuck Nuck Nim, who has never done something that maybe you have been given the vision for. Are you going to listen to that, or are you going to believe that something bigger is possible? I see that. Most of the time it's about a limited belief. So you've got to believe it even before you see it. It's not about seeing it first, then believing it. Believe it, start walking that thing out, what it is for you, and then you'll start to see it. But it's like that quote from Martin Luther King talked about, you know, we want to see the stair first before we take the step. And it doesn't require...
Did you look at my post? Did you look at my post yesterday? I mean, we're on the synergy kick. Like, I literally posted yesterday, dream it, see it, achieve it.
I had a couple weeks ago on my page something very similar because I had to coach myself on that. I mean, we all have to constantly remind ourselves of that. I had had an experience where I had had somebody who I thought would really be there for me, and they disappointed me. And I had to coach myself and say, you know what, Anita, you do it. You do it anyway. Because a lot of those people are going to come along later. But if you don't do it, if you don't believe it, then you can't expect somebody else to. So we all have to go through that. So that would be one of the things I would say to people. As it relates to finances, I would tell someone, We've kind of said for the long term, this person is black, it's white. There are a lot of things in this world that are green. And there are a lot of opportunities out there that don't care if you're black or white, if you do them. And so if you're not familiar with that, you need to open your mind up about that. On the financial side, specifically to handling your finances, I would encourage people not to just think of finances as investment, because that's what we see a lot of times in the financial industry. So I'm not saying that they are not investment, but they're thinking retirement only. When there are a lot of things related to finances that are an investment, but they are an investment in you. So I would say to someone, before you start investing in anything else that's going to impact you down the road, invest in some things that could impact you and the people you love now. So there are four things that people should definitely take care of in their own financial portfolio. And if you're working with someone who is not someone who is all of those, then you're missing out. By building a house and you're leaving a piece of the house undone. So the foundation of every house, I always talk to my clients about, I'm helping you build your financial house. The foundation is the most important. I can help you with all the other things related to your finances, but those things didn't happen overnight. You didn't get in debt overnight. You didn't spend all your money overnight. You're not going to retire tomorrow, probably. But what happens, you could die 5 minutes from now. And the fact that more than a third of the U.S. population doesn't even have life insurance or different things in place to protect their families if they're no longer here is a travesty. So I would tell people, let's stop applauding the fact that we all are becoming GoFundMe pages. And let's do what we can. We talked earlier about how much we spend just for a week for meals. Protecting our families costs less than what we spend on food and entertainment. But we make other choices. So that would be the number one thing. If you haven't done that, please do that for the sake of your family. Number two is debt. If you are drowning in debt, and most people are, the average American household doesn't have any money in the bank, doesn't even have $500 in a bank account. But we are drowning in credit card debt and payday loans and all kinds of things. So when you're paying someone else, you are taking away from what you could be investing in your own family. So
I work with my clients on reducing the debt so that they can invest in their own family. The third is savings and emergency
funds.
I just said $500, so that means if you go outside and you have a flat tire, the average person couldn't even go replace that tire without borrowing or using a credit card. That means we are one small incident away from an emergency, and we are seeing the effects of that all over
our
economy and
our
community. And then we worry about
investing.
Because that's probably 20, 30, 40 years down the line, depending on your age. But all the things below can impact your ability to have the kind of retirement you really would want. And we know that over 10,000 people retire every day, and within 2 years, 5,000 have to go back to work. So we have no idea how much it's really going to cost.
Stay retired.
And if we're talking a lot about blue and red, but if we don't fix how people do money,
understand money,
we will have even more people
even more
on track
to
have even more people who need to be taken
care
of. And I believe most of us would want to be able to do things with dignity, retire our loved ones and ourselves with dignity, and not just
what somebody else
will throw
at us.
So I would tell people, make sure you're doing that. And no one's exempt from that. Even the person that makes and has a nice house and nice car. I have clients who make over $300,000 a year, but they still don't have what they need if they want to stay in that same quality of life when they get older. So there's nothing wrong with a checkup.
Go
to the doctor regularly and get checkups. You should be getting
financial checkup.
And I love doing that for my clients, and hopefully everybody realizes the value of that.
Before we go, we have a caller that has a question. So a question or a comment. So let's see what they have to say.
Okay.
Last four digits of your number, 2136. Do you have a question? You there? Area code 214. 557-2136. You there? Do you have a question? I guess not. They raised their hand, but didn't have the question. So, Anita, tell folks how they can get in contact with you. Get in contact with you, I guess, on social media, your business, you know, because you just dropped some nuggets of knowledge. You've done what many want to. Play professional sports. Be successful in business. Start your own business. So how can folks get in contact with you?
Well, first of all, you can find me on Twitter at Anita_Maxwell. You can find me on Facebook at
TheAnitaMaxwell.
Go to my website at AnitaMaxwell.com. Or my business name is
FullFullLiving.com.
You can send any questions to me.
AskAnitaNow.com,
and that will come to me. And I don't mind having a conversation with anybody, kind of bouncing some things off me if you're interested in that. If there's a person that's interested in knowing more about how do I start my own business, I'd love to have that conversation with them as well, as just giving them some tips about how they could do some things differently with their finances. And you can also reach me on my business line at area code 469-816-6530. I would ask that, please, if you're using that number, then it's only period of inquiry, but I am able to, and I just enjoy having these conversations. The more people we talk to, the better we are as a community and as a country, because essentially this is something that we are not taught in school, and that's a whole other show about why that's important and how just the lack of education about finances is truly killing us.
Well, Anita, we thank you so much for what you're doing to help businesses grow, to help people understand finance, so we're not being killed. And, you know, one of the things I didn't talk to you about, but you're going to be on the spot right now. We want to hire you to help some of the businesses that we seed. We're going to 12 cities. We're giving away $25,000 to 12 entrepreneurs in each city. We're talking about 144 entrepreneurs, but we're aligning them with success coaches in finance, in operations logistics, in marketing and PR, in legal. So we want to bring you on board to help us in that fight to coach our businesses, because we don't want just businesses. We want thriving businesses in our community. And it's one thing to seed someone financially, but it's another thing to be able to help them expand, to take that seed to that next level. So, you know, we will definitely be in touch. We want you, like I said, to drop these nuggets of knowledge to these organizations, to these business entrepreneurs that we've been seeding, because we want some amazingly successful businesses. And we'll go right to the source. So, you know, it's in a city that's close to you, we will have you out and connected with those folks.
Well, thank you, Jason. I'd be honored, and I fully support what you're doing. We have to start with us. It starts one household at a time. So own the vision is doing that. You all are show. I would tell anybody a little bit goes a long way. Show people that, and I enjoy reading about all the different things that own the vision is going to impact not only our community, but this country and this world. So I will help however I can. Thank you so much for including me as a part of the vision. I appreciate that.
Well, hey, we're ready to cut the checks. But folks, thanks for another amazing episode. Thanks for listening in on a Wednesday other than Tuesday. We'll be back next Tuesday. Life happens, so sometimes we have to shift. That's the great part about owning the show and owning your vision of success. This is the Own the Vision radio show where we're exposing you to the people, the places, the opportunity organizations around our community that are doing amazing things. My name is Jason Warner. Reach out to us at the foundation, www.ownthevision.com. Learn about the Give 12 Project. We're in Atlanta right now, but we're going to 11 other cities. That's www.givethenumber12today.com. You can follow us on social media at Own the Vision. That's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow me directly at Jason L. Warner. That's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm the guy in the suit. If on Facebook, you'll see me with the Give 12 logo. But we thank you. We want you to own your vision of success. And our purpose is to seed that through knowledge and finance. Once again, we thank you, and we'll leave you with Amari the Great. I pledge allegiance to my people. Until next week on Tuesday, 9 p.m., have an amazing, productive, positive rest of your week, and remember to own your vision of success. Good night.
One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. The black of the very sweet is the truth. What a concoction of greatness was graded out of this soup. Created doctrines of hatred and still we fight to break loose. Physically hanging, now our mentality is inside a noose. Black history books I read, intrigued as I'm turning chapters. A QEP and my spirit animals, my Black Panthers. Rap for my people, go against us and you press my buttons. On the front line at 17 with choppers, Bobby Hutton. I tell my people stand up when people looking down to us. Downtown ACL protesting, those cops were surrounding us. I look around and slowly you get this smile on my face. I'm just the Omas for my people, cause I love my race. And we can't be replaced, never, cause we mean too much. Thoughts of freedom on them plantations like we dream too much. Appreciative of my Black elders, man, they seem too much. My generation's next, give them something to believe through us. Yeah. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. You can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance. Sometimes I feel like MLK in this. Society's biased, I'm not okay with this. We're patient, yeah. Hard to stand by us, they chillin', breaking us. They choose to give us people like our Oprahs and Harveys, but they refuse to give us our Angela Davis and Garvey. Royalties in our core, naturally we are pure. All praise to Dr. Tavy, I praise Asada Shakur. Biopics on our people, they displaying it now. Showing that greatness, black and proud, the chains are singing it loud. I'm about making sure our people are respected. From Carver and his peanuts to CJ Walker's cosmetics. Remember movements like the SCLC, even the Freedom Riders. Now I'm more feeling really with it, cause I'm a freedom rider. So bad to be a part of a culture and even heritage. His richest mind, though they try, there's no use neglecting it. But thought I was the king, there's no need for me to be selling land. Who would have thought the power I possessed was in this melanin? God. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is a song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Growing up, I was intrigued by my color, and I appreciated it. Would never hate on my brother. Pro-black, not anti-white is what my pops always said. I had a balance between being MLK and being Detroit Red. Lived up so many who for my freedom had let bloodshed, and prayed I'd be the next black hope before going to bed. No Black History Month because it doesn't need titles. Don't need a month to acknowledge William Du Bois as my idol. It hurts me to see us blind, hurts me to see us suffer from a system that's in place by throwing shade at each other. When Martin had a dream and Huey had to pump cop, when Malcolm was in that window that turned a lit blood drop, when Sandra had made that video, when Philando was registered, St. Mills in that rec center hunted down like a predator. Obama got in office, got elected right back. These are moments that let me remember there's power in black. Yeah. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Says you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah. Indefinitely empowered, temporarily exiled, were my people. Long said to be outcasted and outlasted, nonetheless, they are my people. Surely no sequel, brought into a situation saying we not equal. Treated like dogs, but we're whipped for barking. Finally, we barked and barked until eventually that bark came with a fight. Symbolized a spark, but no longer, now it's a light golden. Pledge allegiance to us. One nation under the Most High. Segregation and rights being denied. Liberation, this is our song cry. For my melanated people, put your hands in the sky. Stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. Cause you can stand up and raise your right fist up. We the birth of our own nation. Pledge allegiance to us. Yeah.